Well, good morning again for everybody. Folks, as we enter into our worship service, as I mentioned earlier, this is the second week of Advent. And as Advent season is upon us, we recognize it with the birth of our Savior, of all the tellings and the prophecies that Jesus would come. And we celebrate his coming birthday that's still a couple weeks off. And with that recognition, last week we lit the candle of hope because of our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God the Father. It gives us hope. And we looked at all of the prophecies around hope. So I'm going to light the hope candle now. And also I'm going to light the second candle, which is a candle of peace, and pray that as we go into our worship service today, that your heart is filled with peace. The comfort of Christ should bring us peace. And I want to greet you as we think about peace with a different term that you've never heard me use. But to everybody this morning, I want to say shalom. Now, most of us recognize shalom as a Jewish or Hebrew greeting. And shalom has lots of different aspects to it. You know, when we say peace, peace is defined as an absence of conflict. And shalom and peace are substituted oftentimes for one another. In the Bible, where we find shalom, it's oftentimes translated peace. But shalom is actually used to a greater extent. It's a greeting to say hello and to greet somebody peaceably. Shalom is used when somebody is leaving to say farewell and hoping that peace will go with them. It's rich in the different meanings that it has. And according to Strong's Concordance, shalom means completeness, soundness, welfare, and peace. See, it expands a little bit over just the definition of peace, doesn't it? It embodies our whole essence. And I kind of feel that this is what David was expressing when in Psalm 4:8 he said, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." See, you have to have peace in your heart to have that type of feeling that David's trying to express here. You have to feel well. You have to feel rounded out. You have to be full of trust, of soundness, to have that type of peace. You know, looking at the 23rd Psalm, the sheep will not lie down in green pastures until all those conditions were met. And they were all met for David to say this: "I will lie down in peace." Now, as we go into this message today, folks, we need to recognize that not everybody has peace in their hearts at this time of year. They just don't. So I want to ask you, as we look at the true meaning of Christmas, you know, we need to recognize what it is we're celebrating. And I say this to people that know the things I'm about to say. But Christmas is not about buying the most expensive gift that we can conjure up to give to another person. We give gifts representing the gifts that the Lord gave to us, which is the ultimate gift in Jesus Christ. So we give gifts to one another out of love. It's the only thing that we can do at this time of year other than prayers and worshiping God in our various church services. But the exchanging of gifts recognizes what the Lord did to us. You see, it's all about the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. That's what Christmas is about. I pray that you have peace in your hearts this morning. But if for some reason you don't, I think you need to take a hard look at yourself and see where your hearts and your thoughts are focused. You know, the world distracts us and pulls at us in so many ways. And I will even add to that, Satan will do everything in his power to keep us from having peace in our hearts and to keep us from worshiping God. But like David said, when I will lie down in peace For that to happen, we need to be focused on the Lord. He needs to be the most important thing in our lives. And as Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I don't know what type of experiences you may have had just in coming here today. I don't know. But there could have been some obstacles that you might still be thinking about. There may be something that is diverting your attention. You're hearing, but you're not focused on worshiping God. For this short season that we have, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, we need to focus on the Lord with all of our hearts and with all of our souls and with all sincerity, and recognize and start contemplating about what the Lord has done for us. Last Sunday, we talked about the reason we have hope. You see, when we have hope, we have trust. And when we have trust, we should have peace in our hearts. And peace, if we look at it from the term of shalom, does not mean that we will have the absence of conflict in our lives. It means that we have peace in our hearts between the Lord, our Savior, and ourselves. You see, it goes back to, as I mentioned many, many times, it's our personal relationship with the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If we are focused on Him, folks, we should be experiencing peace. And we need to remember that without Jesus, there is no peace. All we have to do is look around the world right now. You look at all the events that are happening in the Middle East. In case you haven't seen it, the Syrian government is basically overthrown now. Bashar Assad has fled, they think, to Russia. Islamist people are taking over the country. More and more and more bloodshed. We look at the bloodshed that's already occurred in Lebanon and in Gaza. And we look at the Ukraine and Russia. You see, there will never be, until Jesus Christ comes back again, there will never be a total period where there is an absence of conflict. There are pockets and areas of the world where there is peace. Where Jesus is in the hearts of His people, we can experience peace. And folks, that's the peace that we need to focus on. And to do that, I want to remind you first, where we were without the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. Before Jesus revealed Himself to you and called you by name, how does the Bible describe men in general? And of course, that term refers to all of mankind, men and women. You want to hear the definitions of us all? I'm going to share some with you. Genesis 6. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. That's a fairly bleak description of people. We need to remember that the Lord sees all. Listen again to what the Apostle Paul said in his letters to the Romans. And folks, this is found in our Articles of Faith. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Folks, that description was some 2,000 years ago. It still applies today. All we have to do is apply it to the situations I just described a moment ago. All we have to do is apply it to people in this country, for all of those who do not know Jesus Christ. So as we begin to think about this holiday season, folks, we need to recognize that that description applies to all of us, everybody who does not have Jesus. But we need to remember, last week what we touched on, why we had hope. We have hope because God has a children that He created for Himself, and He said that He created us out of love and to praise Him. And because God chose a people before the foundation of the world, we have hope. And for His children, the Lord has promised us peace. Peace why? Because of what He has done for His children. I want to share some scriptures with you that maybe if you are not focused on the Lord, then maybe you will become more focused on Him. And that, and the more you focus on Him, the more peace that you will have in your hearts. Why do we have peace? Well, last week we went over some promises and prophecies. I want to do the same thing again for just a moment. Here's the promise of improvement, of peace that would come, found in Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And folks, we all were in darkness until Jesus Christ shined in our hearts. Notice the text here, the tense. It shined upon us. We were the recipients of God shining His light on us and in our hearts. You see, God moved first. God is always in control, and we can't forget that. It is the Lord who is active and comes to His children. A light shined, and that light is Jesus Christ. That's what Isaiah is prophesying. Then, down verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." You know, there's so much in that verse of Isaiah and what he's telling us here. He's talking about, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He would come. And folks, His government will never end. He was in the beginning. 1 John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were created by Him. And there is no end to the reign of Jesus Christ. You see, He came to establish His government, and meaning that the throne, the kingdom of God had come to earth in Jesus Christ, manifesting the little child Jesus. And Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Luke that the kingdom of God is within you. You see, the Holy Spirit is within us because it is a gift that the Lord has given us. And it will never end, folks. Jesus said that my children will never perish. You see, we had hope for eternal life. And that hope that we have in Christ should give us peace in our hearts. When we look around the world, we don't see justice, do we? We see attempts at justice. We see times and places where people try to do the right thing, where governments are established and they have laws and orders that are try to follow the biblical code that we have. Our government's that way. But as all things constructed by men, it falls far short. But everything that the Lord does is perfect. And He will execute justice. And it will never end. It says, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God Himself, God the Father, has declared it. Because He loves us. Why can we have peace? Because the Lord wants us to know that we are not alone in this life. A great light has shined upon us. If we have a gift of faith in our hearts, dear folks, we need to recognize that that was given to us by God. And we should have peace because of that. 1 John 4:10 tells us, "Herein is that love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a reconciliation for our sins." You see, again, think about where we are. This is Christmas season. And a few moments ago, I mentioned giving gifts. Don't you see the gifts that the Lord gave us? He gave us Jesus Christ. Because he loves his children. And he knows we needed a Savior. And folks, we are safe in the Good Shepherd's care. The sheep lie down when they are content, when they trust the Shepherd. Jesus Christ is our Good Shepherd. God sent him to us. Isaiah prophesied. The prophecy was fulfilled. It was a promise. The Lord's promises never fail. That should give us comfort and peace, knowing that we are always in the Good Shepherd's care, and nothing can separate us from that. Even more, you're here today because you have the desire to worship. Who gave you that desire? There's a lot of people out here that, unfortunately, they don't have that desire to go and worship. You do. In other churches, there are people there too. They have the desire to worship because the Lord gave them the gift of faith. See, we have the gift of Jesus Christ. We have the desire in our hearts to worship. We have the gift of faith. What we see through all this is God's love for his children. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3:16, the most quoted scripture in the entire world. Think about it, folks, this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And stop there again. God moves first. God gives. God loves. All we have is because the Lord has allowed it and has blessed us so abundantly. And he gave us Jesus Christ, our Savior, that whoever believes on him. And I want to break that down for just a moment. You see, faith is not confined to Georgia, to Tennessee, to Alabama, to the United States. It is a worldwide thing, the gift of faith in all of God's children's hearts, no matter where they may be. He loved the entire, when it says the entire world, yes, he created the world. He loves his people who are scattered abroad this world. And he sent what we needed. His own Son. He loved so much that he sent his own Son. And so not out of things that we can bring, like the wise men did, and riches and gold, and earn our way into heaven. No, that's been dispelled a long time ago. It is by grace you are saved. The grace that God gave us when he sent Jesus Christ. And that whoever may believe on him will never perish, but have everlasting life. You see, we may not be in the best circumstances at the moment. But we know. We have faith. God gave it to us. In Jesus Christ. We have life everlasting. We will never perish. Never perish. And that should give us hope and peace and contentment in our hearts. For God did not send a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, there's that hope again. God is love, and he is sending a Savior. We have hope in that. If we trust in him, it should give us peace. He who believes in him is not condemned. And folks, that's something that we don't preach enough about. We are not condemned because we are blameless through Jesus Christ. But listen to the rest of the sentence. He who does not believe is condemned already. For he is not, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That condemnation is because, folks, there is a time of judgment that will come. Every person will face it. The whole world will face it. But we should be at peace because there is no condemnation for God's children that believe in him. See, we have hope for that deliverance from that wrath. It is coming upon all the wicked. The wicked will be judged. All of those who are found without Christ will be deemed wicked. Thankfully, that's not upon us. That's between the Lord and the other people. But folks, we need to pray for them. We need to recognize that all who believe, all who have believed in the Lord and have been obedient to him, who have been baptized and publicly proclaimed their profession of faith of Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation for the child of God. None whatsoever. We are delivered and spared of that future day that will come where God will return and judge all people. Why are we delivered from that? Because of Jesus Christ. And folks, that thought, that Jesus came, the prophecies were correct, the promises were upheld, they were fulfilled. Jesus Christ came. Why are we celebrating Christmas? Because we have the gift of the Savior. Romans 5, 8 through 11 tells us that God demonstrated His love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that sentence, break it down. Not because we did something to merit His love. We didn't earn anything based on our actions and our motivations. What does it say? We were still sinners. We were in the description that I read at the beginning. Our righteousness was as filthy rags. But God looked upon His children and saw our pitiful estate. And we couldn't deliver ourselves. We couldn't upkeep the law. And He sent us Jesus Christ. While we were sinners. You see, God had to see the heartache in our lives, in our inabilities. He knew all about the mistakes long before. And yet He sent Jesus Christ, the gift of Christmas, because He loves us. And folks, when we recognize God's love, even though we don't deserve it, we should be at peace in our hearts. And we should recognize God moves first. Our hope is in Him. He has delivered us and saved us because He sent us Jesus Christ. Let me read this again. God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, you see again what Jesus has done. We shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but also we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. You see, folks, if you trust God, you have to recognize there's nothing more that can be added to that. It is Jesus Christ who has reconciled us to God. So isn't it fitting as we enter into Christmas and we start giving gifts that we should be thinking about the gift that God gave us? I preached a message one time that Christmas is the greatest love story ever told. And it is. Because God loved His children so much, He gave us Jesus Christ. And folks, we should ever be reminded that it is God who gave us the gift of Jesus. And then He also gave us the second gift of faith. As we think about what He did, let me just reemphasize this through Ephesians, which we all know so well. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You see, God is always giving and providing for us. He meets our needs through life. Except for Eli and Reese, there's nobody here spring chicken anymore. Yet the Lord has been good to us and gracious and blessed us with everything that we need. And He is faithful, folks. We have hope. We can trust the Lord. His promises never fail. If we just look at what He has done for us, all the gifts He has given, we should be at peace to know that nothing in this world can separate us from His great love. For we are His workmanship. And the Lord, folks, is jealous of His workmanship. He loves you. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And I know I refer to this often, but because He chose you before the foundation of the world, and He knows you, and He knows your unique abilities and talents, He gave you good works to do. We need to be about the business of God and doing those good works. And sometimes those good works can be as commendable as greeting people in the name of Jesus Christ, sharing our faith publicly, but especially praying for other people. They are good works that we all can be doing. Because of the gift of faith, we're giving gifts. We're talking about peace. Because of the gift of faith, Romans 5, 1 through 2 tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have this grace because he has given to us. Philippians tells us, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. When we stop him right there and think about this Christmas season, who is it that we're celebrating the birth of? The one who would reconcile us to God. The only one who could reconcile us to God, Jesus Christ. We have peace because of what he has done. And we look to him as the example to live our lives. You know, sometimes we don't have peace because we're constantly struggling, wanting to do things my way. And my way may be contradictory to God's way. And there's that conflict that enters back into our lives. You see, we only have peace when we are obedient, when we trust the Good Shepherd. We lie down in green pastures when we trust God. And we live a life according to his word. So take this next passage and think about peace in your own life. How are you living? What example do we see here? Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And folks, that's talking here on this earth, but also in the time of judgment that's going to come. But how did Jesus live his life prior to that, when he walked this earth? And the great example that we should be following, Romans tells us, if possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. With all men. You see, Jesus humbled himself. As we read in our opening scripture, he walked humbly in this life, having the power and the ability to heal, to turn water into wine, to calm the sea, to calm the storms, to raise the dead. He had all the authority that the Lord had given him. There was nothing that he could not do. Yet he didn't allow the cares of this world to stop him from the reason he came, to be the propitiation for us, to reconcile us to him, to teach us that we need to focus on things above, not here on this earth, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to walk humbly before our God. You see, Jesus walked humbly as the Lamb when he was here. When he comes back in the future, he's going to bring judgment with him. He will be the Lion of Judah at that time. And folks, we should be at peace knowing that when that time comes, that we will be with him. That he is our Savior. That he is our Good Shepherd. And that we are not in any way obligated to the wickedness of this world. We are safe and secure in the arms of Jesus Christ. His name is exalted above every other name. So folks, we should walk humbly and be at peace in this life, knowing that he has given us a gift of faith, that he is with us. You see, I asked you earlier, where is your hearts today? What are you focused on? When we're focused on Jesus Christ, it will bring us peace. Because we're looking at to the Lord who is greater than we are. That one thing, when we look to Jesus Christ, when we think about him, the blessings we have because he loved us, because he moved first, things change. When we're focused on him, our perspective changes. Because we're not relying on our feeble inabilities anymore. When we focus on Jesus Christ, we don't impute to him the failings and shortcomings of people. Because we recognize that he is God. And he has overcome the world. We recognize that we are caught up with him. He is our Savior. And our priorities should change. When that happens, peace comes into our hearts when we put Him first in our lives. Remember, He said, where your treasure is. Where is it? That's where your heart is. When our heart is focused on Jesus Christ, we will have peace. And when that happens, our behavior changes. We walk humbly, don't we? We try to live peaceably with all men whenever possible. That's what we are told to do. Now, some people don't believe that that's possible. But it is possible. You look at how humble and peaceable the apostles were. Now, yeah, they experienced a lot of persecution. But they didn't bring persecution. No, they brought the love of Jesus Christ. They brought the gospel to people, and their eyes were opened. You see, they lived the example that we need to live. They followed the example of Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, that may never happen again. Well, let me tell you that it has happened again. It has happened. Now, recent Eli, I know I want to tell you both that I appreciate that y'all listen to our services and our messages. You see, that's encouraging to me to know that people are listening. Sister Kim shared a sweet email with me, and it meant a lot to me, because they are listening. You see, the examples and the things that we say have an effect on other people. We may think that they don't listen, but they hear. They hear. That's why God created us to do good works, so that other people will see. And this next story I'm about to share with you is a true story. And we need to understand that peace can happen when people's hearts are in the right place. This is a true story. Let me share this one example with you first before we get to that. Philippians tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is coming. We don't know what day, but He's at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You see, folks, and I got ahead of myself a little bit. People think, well, you can't live that way, but you can. The apostles did, Jesus did. And He just told us here, let your gentleness and peace be made known to all men. And when we do that, it goes back to our priorities. When we do that, peace can happen. The following is a true story. It's been told now for over 100 years. And Reese and Eli, it really happened. You see, there can be peace when our heart's in the right place. When we quit focusing on the things around us and we look to the Lord above. This was narrated, and I want you, if you can think of it, by Johnny Cash. And he said the following narration of this true story. One frozen night in 1914, at the height of World War I, the unthinkable happened. All along the entire Western Front, the British and German soldiers lay down their weapons in an unofficial ceasefire to celebrate Christmas Eve together. They exchanged gifts and saw each other as brothers. And that peace lasted for two more days when they were ordered back to battle. But in those few days, men remembered the true meaning of Christmas amongst the devastation. And it's a story that should never be forgotten. And all that devastation of World War I, and they have called that probably the most horrific war in hand-to-hand fighting that's ever been, at least in modern times. Throughout all that devastation, when the men looked around and saw all the carnage and all the dead bodies and all the bitter cold and all the bleakness of this world. You see, somebody let their good works be seen. And they looked to God, these German soldiers, and they remembered what Christmas was all about. They saw the hopelessness in people. but the hope and beauty of Jesus Christ. And they remembered. And they started singing Christmas carols. And the British soldiers heard, and they responded one to another. And they laid down their arms. And they saw each other as brothers in Christ. You see, folks, peace can happen. Peace can happen when we turn to Jesus and we put Him first. That's what those soldiers did. It should never be forgotten because, folks, even in the midst of devastation, they remembered Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace. We need to do the same. This time of year, we need to remember that we can only have peace because God loved us and He sent Jesus to us. But Jesus, if we are going to follow the Good Shepherd, needs to be the Lord of our life. When we truly put Him first and we trust Him on a daily basis, these other conflicts and things may not go away, but they will not be sufficient to distract us from our focus on Him. And when we are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have peace in our hearts. And I pray for each of you that from this day forward to the rest of this Christmas season, that you will be filled with peace, knowing that the Lord loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on Him shall have everlasting life and shall never perish. Folks, that's me and that's you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. You see, God loved us and He gave us the gift that we need. As we sit around Christmas this year and we give gifts, there's nothing greater than you can give is your love to one another and expressing your faith and gratitude for what the Lord Jesus has done for us. May He add His blessings to us, is my prayer. And may peace go with you, or should I say, as we leave, shalom.